Oh, he's an awesome God, is he, or what?
So good.
Bless his name. Take your seats and fasten your seat belts. We are in the presence of an amazing God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We really are. He's such a good God. I tell you, we need to come to know God in his fullness and his goodness. We need a picture of God that shows how great he is. It's settled in our hearts and minds forever. He's a good God. He's a mighty God. He's a wonderful God. And he's got the very best in mind and in store for us. Amen. The very best. We're looking at the fact that we are carriers of the name of Jesus. And it's not just a end of a prayer line. But it's a responsibility that carries a reputation of the kingdom of heaven in our lives to be his ambassadors on this planet. Amen. I love that. I'm passionate about it. I'm really praying and longing that God does an amazing work in and through me, through his people, for us to be the people he wants us to be.
Yes.
It's far more than just being pew warmers and people that call themselves Christians. We're going to throw that theory out the window today, I'll tell you. And I'm looking at what happened with Jesus when he was baptized in the Jordan. When we went through this last week, and it's on the podcast if you want to listen to it. And he came out, John bear witness that the Spirit descended on him like a dove. And that Spirit led Jesus into a wilderness. And in that wilderness, he was tested and tried, and his every facet and aspect of his humanity and his capacities on this planet were put under the pump. And you know, he overcame. Whoa. And I'm telling you, the Bible gives us the capacity to be overcomers as well. And I love what it says in Revelation 3:20, him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And man, we need to stand up as pillars and support the temple and the kingdom of God on this planet. Amen. We, him that overcomes. And I champion the cause of being an overcomer in our lives and not letting anything subdue us or deceive us or take us down to a lesser standard than what God has planned and purposed for us. But he came out of that wilderness in the power of the Spirit. Woo! I love that. I love that. There's a reward for becoming an overcomer, for overcoming and standing up rightly for what God has put and placed in our lives. Amen? What he's purposed us for. And it tells us there in Luke chapter 4, and I challenged people last week to read that, but it says after that, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went fame of him through the region all around about. Man, I'm telling you, if Christians had the power of the Spirit and we were walking in the power of the Spirit, I wonder if the fame of us would be through the land. You think about that. You think about that. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Man, that is amazing. And he's in the synagogue and he gets given the book of Isaiah. And he picks it up where it talks about him. You know, Jesus found himself in the scriptures right through from Genesis to Revelation. He didn't come into this planet knowing who he was as a babe and as a child. He grew up learning the scriptures, and in every scripture he found himself in the scriptures. That was why he could give such a great Bible study on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection, and beginning with Moses, which is the Genesis books and the first five, the Pentateuch. He, and in all the prophets, he explained the things concerning himself. Boy, oh boy. Whoa. Have you found Jesus in the scriptures? Have you found him there? More than that, have you found yourself in the scriptures? If you're a child of God and who God says who we are in him, have you found yourself in the scriptures? If Jesus had to find himself in the scriptures, we better start looking too. I'm in there. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. If Ken is in Christ, Ken is a new creature. Ken's old things have passed away, and behold, in Ken's life, all things have become. Well, I tell you what, you put that into your life and you start confessing that, you begin to see yourself in the scriptures. Amen? Amen. Whoa, it's good stuff. It's amazing that we are there, because what Christ did for us at Calvary when he came and rose from the dead and seated it, Father seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, and it tells us he has raised Ken up and seated Ken in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in the same position there. I'm in him. Whoa, I found myself in the scriptures. Amen. Find yourself in the scriptures. If Jesus had to do it, boy, we got no excuse. We have to find ourselves there as well. But in the book of Isaiah, he opened it up and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Oh. Christ is not Jesus' second name. Thou art the Christ. The word Christ is anointed of God. It's the equivalent of the Old Testament Messiah, but the anointed one of God. You are the anointed one of God. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And the Bible says, and he put the book down and everyone's gaze was focused on him. And you know, we often as Christians look at that scripture and think, oh yeah, well, you know, Jesus come to do that, and all these people that are outside of church, the brokenhearted and the poor and the lame and the sick and the needy, oh Jesus, oh, we pray for this world. I'm telling you what, the church is just as bruised. The church is just as broken. The church is just as needy. The church is just as lame. The church is just as crippled, because we are not yet fulfilling what God has planned and purposed for us to do and be on this planet. And I'm telling you, you can't minister health, healing, and wholeness out of brokenness and being sick and being down. If we are not facetly, or if we haven't taken on board in our capacities the reality of what God has provided to do for us through his anointing, don't go out and try and do it to someone else if you're in a lesser position. We need to get ourselves up, and we need to be sure that God, when he raised him from the dead and what he did for us, is in our lives in every capacity. The Bible challenges us to be filled with the fullness of God. We are to get out there in wholeness and minister wholeness, not in lack and try and minister wholeness to other people. And that's what God wants for us. It's a challenge to us to be empowered by the Spirit to do that. And Jesus, when he went through that temptation and came out and he was there, he challenged the disciples as well to go wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. And I'm telling you, if Jesus needed to go through the temptations and the trials and be an overcomer before he came out in the power of the Spirit, where does that leave us? Where does that leave us? My challenge is to take everything that comes against us, every trial, every temptation, as a stepping stone to be empowered by the Spirit of God. Say, "Lord, I'm overcoming this one because I need power in that area. I need your life. I need to come and be endued with power." And take it on board as a stepping stone in God's preparation for your life. Today I want to really challenge us on our passion, because a lot of people have passions for a lot of things, and that's really good, but firstly and foremostly, our passion has to be directed in a godly direction. And if we look at Jesus, when you go a little further along, his parents went to Jerusalem every year to the Passover, and most of us would know the story. They get down there, they go through everything, and they were there a few days, and they turned around to go back home. Now, obviously, they're in a crowd of people. They're with other family, with everyone else, you know, all the crowds there. All of a sudden, it's like, "Hey, where's Jesus? Hang on, I thought he was with you. You got him? Is he in your tent? No. Is he in your tent? No. Where is he? Where is Jesus?" And his parents, like every parent, had a natural Oh no.
Oh, where is Jesus? What's happened to Jesus?
Ever lost a kid in a shopping center or somewhere? You know, you have that sense of urgency, that moment of panic, that and it's like, where is my child? And Joseph and Mary were no different. So they go rushing back to Jerusalem, and they look around for a couple of days. The Bible tells us it wasn't just instant. Finally, they found him in the temple, and they come up to him and say, why have you done this to us? We've been in a panic. We have just been at our wits' end. Jesus! He's as calm as anything. Why are you looking for me? What's the problem? Don't you know, firstly and foremostly, I have a call of God on my life, and I must be about my Father's business. Now, he didn't intentionally get there to upset his parents or whatever, but he was in the temple, and he was asking questions, and he was answering questions, and the wisdom and the amazing knowledge of the scriptures blew everybody away, because the masters were there, the scribes, the Pharisees, everybody that's supposedly knew the scriptures are being turned upside down by this 12-year-old boy, this young man. Why? Because he'd found himself in the scriptures and he had a passion for his Father's business. Ah, he had a passion. And that passion drove him. And we need to do the same. And firstly and foremostly in our lives, our Father's business needs to come to the fore. Amen. He was there doing what he wanted to do out of his passion. Later on in life, he challenges some of the others and he gets 72. And he sends them out ahead of him everywhere he was to go. And he says, whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. And the 72 returned to Jesus, and they got their back. They're all absolutely pumped. We went into the town, like you said, and Jesus, we even had demons subject to us in your name. We even saw amazing things happen, and it was incredible. And you know, Jesus put them in their place. Firstly, he says, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And I've explained that before. That's got a threefold aspect to that, past, present, and future. But also, and he said, I have given you authority. And this is the name of Jesus in action. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will ever harm you. But I'm telling you this. Don't go rejoicing in the actions. Don't go rejoicing in the results. Don't get too carried away with that. That's part and parcel of life in my name. But get your passion and focus and attention where it belongs. Your name is written in heaven. Be focused on the kingdom, not on the actions. When you're focused on the kingdom, the actions will be natural. When you're focused on the kingdom, the outworking of our lives will be what God wants for us. Whoa, that is amazing. Let's go on a little bit, Rake, next one. Don't get carried away with what you can do or the results. Keep your passion and focus that your names are written in heaven. You know, Jesus was pretty amazing with this because he said to them later on, the works I do, you will do. And not only that, you'll do greater works because I'm going to the Father. So the works are just irrelevant. I'm going to the Father, you'll be in me. He asked who he was. They told him, you are the Christ. Well, Peter said, you are the Christ, the anointed one of God. And Jesus said to him this. He said, and you're Simon, but telling you, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you who I am, but my Father, which is in heaven. And that's the thing the Father wants to bring to our attention, who Christ is, the anointed one of God, or who Jesus is, the anointed one of God. And if he's in our lives, he wants to bring that into focus, that the anointed one and his anointing dwells in us. Amen. If you are Christ's, if you are the anointed one and have his anointing, is actually the more literal translation of that. Do we have his anointing? Have we opened ourselves up to receive that anointing? Have we gone through the wilderness experience and come out in the power of the Spirit? Because that anointing belongs to us. We're challenged to go through and be the overcomers we need to be, putting aside all of the flesh, the temptations, and everything else that any experience can throw at us, and come out in the power of the Spirit, anointed for a purpose to bring God's kingdom to the fore. Amen? Not only in our lives, but preaching it and teaching it with authority. When they knew who he was, of course, they go on and they go out and do things later on after they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they get to a place called Antioch, and it says the Bible were first called what? Believers? We got a problem with this in the world today. I'm a believer. Big deal. Demons believe and they tremble, the Bible tells us. Oh, they didn't call them followers of Jesus even. They called them what? The anointed ones. Christians. Why? Because they saw the same anointing functioning in and through them that Jesus had. I'd love to be called a Christian by people, not because I go to church or not because they know I believe in Jesus, but because they see the anointing of God's power functioning and operating in and through my life. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, church. There's a greater purpose for us than getting born again. My sins are forgiven and I'm going to heaven. Whoopee-doo. Because if I haven't fulfilled what God has purposed for his church on this planet, I don't think I'd get the well done. We've had so many concepts of Christianity. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And we get this beaten up, broken down church that's struggling to find till Jesus comes and rescues us from this muck. No. I'm an overcomer. This muck is going to be subjected to the name of Jesus in and through and everywhere my foot travels. God will give me the land in Jesus' name. I will take his name with me. I'll work his work. I will do what he's called me to do. And I'm telling you now, I wish I'd seen this so much before. Instead of having a Christian religiousness, I know now that there's far more to it. And we've got a call and a challenge and a purpose in God to get passionate for Jesus, amen? If there's nothing else I do today, I want to instill passion in our hearts and lives to have God at the fore and in the focus of everything we are, say, and do. Don't you know you must be about your Father's business? Don't I know I must be about my Father's business? Sure, we've got responsibilities in life. Sure, we've got families and vocations and other things to do. But you don't work where you work because you want to earn money to feed your family so that you can have on a holiday at Christmas and you can do this and you can go back to work. You work in that place because God needs an ambassador for his kingdom in that business. And if wherever we are, the first and foremost thing we need to do, whatever we are doing, whatever our calling and vocation and passions are in the natural level, override it with, I must be about my Father's business. That's the passion we need to have. Jesus went down to the Jerusalem to get involved with his family in Passover. Passover was one thing, but his Father's business took priority. And I don't care what we do, we need to ensure that our Father's business takes priority. Amen? We need to be passionate for God, passionate for his call, passionate for his kingdom. We need to be called Christians, anointed ones, anointed ones. But there's a passion that needs to come up within us for God. I'm going to go on a little further down the track with this, where there's a preparation process. And from passion to preparation, the disciples had preparation, I'm telling you. They were given this particular call where the 70 went out, and other instances where they were put into situations where Jesus sent them out. And then he said, this is your preparation. Now go wait in Jerusalem. We'll go to the preparation thing. I'm getting ahead of myself a bit here, but I'm telling you, there's so much for us in God, amen? But we're coming up to the point now where we need the passion. We need to incite ourselves and get ourselves excited with a passion for all that God not only has done for us. And I'm telling you, we come around this communion table and I see what Christ has done. I see his body was broken. I see his blood was shed. I hear the amazing exposés that people bring about the communion around this table when God gives us revelation of what happened and what we need to do. And look up, your redemption draws nigh. I will look to the hills from whence comes my help. All of that excites me. But I look at the finished work of Calvary. I look at the cross and I look what God made available to us. And I look at how he signed the new covenant with his own blood and said, here it is. Now I've got it. It's all yours. Walk in it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a Christian. Whoopee flippin' do. Let's get stuck into this a little bit more and become the people of God that God wants us to be, with a passion for his kingdom, for a passion for God, for an excitement that needs to go on. Next one. Thanks, Ray. Paul was amazing. This is incredible. How many of us could get up and say, I want you to imitate me the way I imitate Christ? I trust now God's calling me to set a greater standard, and it inspires you. Paul was a bold boy saying something like that. Could you go to somebody and say, I want you to imitate the way I imitate Christ? Follow me the way I follow Jesus. Everything I am and do is for his kingdom. I'm passionate about that. Come on, you do the same thing. I reckon we all need to be like that. We should all be able to get up and say, you be imitators of me the way I am of Christ. Wow. Is that a challenge or what? That shakes my bones. But you know, I've realized in so many instances, I need what Jesus had in Luke 4, where he said, I've come to set at liberty them who are bruised, to release the captives. And I'm captive in some of the things that have been, quote, tradition to me. I know what it's like to be bruised. I got a massive one on my leg the other day. I took a crazy tumble and ended up landing on a corner of a bit of machinery at work. And I had a bruise come up like I've never had a bruise in my life. I'm telling you, being bruised restricts you. Anyone had a bruise where you sort of, every time you move, it aches and it hurts? This is massive. This is right there. I'll tell you what, that whole bit there was blue. It's not there now, thank God. I got home and anointed it and prayed for it and come together. Amazing. I went to work the next day thinking I'd be totally crippled. It's still just slightly aching, but not what it was when it happened. But being bruised restricted my walk. Being bruised restricted my mobility. Being bruised restricted everything I could do. Being bruised caused me to be less than I should have been. And I'm telling you, if Jesus came to heal those that are bruised, are we restricted in ways, shapes, and forms by the fact that we are not walking in the full anointing of God? Amen? He came to set us free from that, to preach deliverance from the captives. I was captive by a church. I was captive by religion. I was captive by the fact that my thoughts and my concepts of Christianity were in violation of God's word, because everything was there to please and do whatever the church did and whatever the people said I should be doing. To be a Christian, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that, do the other. And man, it was impossible. Then I found out who I was in Christ. I found myself in the scriptures. Glory to God. I tell you what, I had the deliverance from the captives come over me like you've never ever seen it come over anybody. I wasn't out in the world. I wasn't out there being kicked around and lost and a devil's disciple. I was actually in the kingdom, but I was a captive. But I had deliverance come. Oh, my movements were restricted. I was bruised as a result of that, and Jesus set me free. Oh, we walk in a new covenant, and the old is all passed away. We need to get hold of that and to know that. And Paul talks about this when he came in 1 Corinthians 2. He says to him, and when I came to you, I didn't come with excellency of speech. I'm not a con man. I'm not a salesman. I haven't got a spiel ready to just give you. We were taught that in the church in the early days, the four spiritual laws. What a lot of... Ugh. We had to go and talk to people. Bible says, all have sinned. Are you one of the all, brother? You know, let me talk to you. All have sinned. And you know, in Romans 3:23, in Romans 6:23, it says, and the wages of sin is death. Oh man, you're doomed. You are. We had a spiel. We had a nonsense spiel. We were taught to do that as a witnessing program. Instead of being who God wanted us to be, we came out and we went out with, quote, excellency of speech and enticing words. And I should have been a car salesman, not a Christian. And then God got a hold of me. I got rid of all that nonsense and I said, Jesus, just be who you want to be in me. And now I can talk to everybody about the Christ in me, who is the hope of glory. My love, my passion, everything about him. Because I've come to know him. I knew scriptures back then and I could rattle them off and I could give people a spiel. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to come in demonstration and have a look at what Paul said. He said, I came to you not with excellent speech or wisdom, declaring the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Because through that crucifixion comes the new covenant reality of who Christ is. And I was with you in weakness, in fear and much trembling. My speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh. No wonder a lot of people never come to Christ, because it's a whole big con in a lot of ways. We've got it down to a fine art. Oh, we've got this little, you know, witnessing spiel going. Well, whoopee-doo. I would rather see the demonstration. You're sick, you need healing. Well, be healed in Jesus' name. Oh, you got a problem in your life there with finances? In the name of Jesus, I release wisdom into your life in how to handle that situation. What a difference! Such as I have, give I thee, was what the disciples did in the New Testament. And the book of Acts was there for our example to do what they did to bring Christ into a land that needed him. Amen? Through their actions and being called Christians. Because the anointing of Christ was evident in their lives and what they did and how they functioned. There's a passion involved in that. And if our passion is not there, don't expect anything to come of it in our lives or whatever. We need to have a passion. And Paul was exactly like that in Ephesians 1. He had a passion for the church. He had a passion for God's kingdom. He had a passion for people. He had a passion for the gospel. He had a passion for everywhere he went to see the utmost empowering of God's people be imparted to them to fulfill the purposes of God. And he said, I cease not making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Wow, what was I just saying? It's all about knowing Jesus, not knowing the spiel. Wow. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know the hope of his calling. And what are the riches of the glory? The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints are towards us. Let me put it that way. What are the riches that he has for us? What's the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and raised him up and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies? Do we understand that? Do we comprehend that? Do we recognize what God did in that instant, not just so Jesus could go up there and sit and wait for us and we finally either die and get to heaven or he comes and gets us? It's got nothing to do with that. He went there to empower us with the power that he was given. And that anointing was released so that we could be the people of God in functionality, in purpose, in demonstration of the Spirit, and doing what Jesus wants us to do fully and completely. But there's a passion involved. And if we don't get passionate about that, if we don't see that the call of God is first and foremost in our life, if we don't see and understand that this Jesus who gave his life for us wants us to just give our lives for others, we don't get passionate. We need to be passionate before God can do anything. And I'm trying to incite this passion first. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, both of these attributes have to be fully instilled in us. Paul prayed that. And I think the natural equivalent I've put up there is pretty simple. Make sure the brain is engaged before you put the mouth in gear. If you want to go out and be a Christian without the wisdom and revelation and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll just preach religion. You'll just preach a sermon that is based on man's understanding, knowledge, or whatever. Anyone can do that sort of thing. We can do it, and man, I tell you, it's difficult sometimes to hear God if you're not passionate about him. When you're passionate for God, I tell you, it's not hard to hear God's voice, because he knows he can entrust you with what he wants you to do. Sometimes I have to say, Lord, no more. Hang on. Just hang on. I'm still getting over the last little bit you wanted me to go through. Wait. I came here today probably the most unprepared of any time I've ever come to church to preach. Not in the sense that I didn't have a preparation, but in the sense of, Lord, what do I do with all this stuff? I've got to condense this into a few minutes. And I'm trying to give you an overview of what the Lord's been really breaking open in my life and over the past, even in the past week. It's really amazing seeing things in new light, in new understanding, searching the script. I'm going through the Bible again in areas, and I'm seeing things in there in a new light, because I know it's all to do with what God wants the purposes of his kingdom and his church to fulfill on this planet. Some people are saying, oh, come back, Lord Jesus, come back tomorrow. Don't come back. I'm not done yet. I haven't finished what you want me to. Stay away. Stay away. I don't want you back here yet. And I don't believe he will come back, because the Bible says, for his bride has made herself ready. And you know, when a bride makes herself ready, she's adorned to the absolute utmost. Everything that is purposed for her is in place. Is a church like that at the moment? Not a hope. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If the Father turned around and said to me, your bride's on that planet, go down, pick her up, I'd take one look and say, you marry her yourself, I'm getting out of here. My wife, when I married Lexi, I still remember the radiance and the beauty of her coming down the aisle. And she had better sense than to come just in any old shabby clothes. She was adorned with beauty and radiance and the absolute prime. And I tell you, I still see that picture of her walking down that aisle and I still melt. It's embedded in my mind in such an amazing picture. And if I was the Lord Jesus looking at this church, that's what I would want for my church, amen? And I believe this church needs to come to him in passion and say, Lord Jesus, if we've failed you, if we haven't quite made the standard, if I'm not doing it in the fullness of what you want me to do, Lord Jesus, inside a passion in me, Holy Spirit, stir me up inside. Reveal Christ to me. That's his ministry. That's his ministry. Get a new insight for Jesus. Get a new heart for Jesus. Get a new understanding of Jesus. Get a new life for Jesus. Get a new burning and purging inside that reveals Christ as never before. Amen? It's exciting. It's exciting, I tell you. We need a passion for him. We need that passion for his kingdom to see that reign. Don't you know I must be first about my Father's business? His church, a passion for his ministry, not my ministry. So many people have got this, my ministry. I got nothing without Jesus, let me tell you that. Think you got a ministry? Go lay it down somewhere and dig a hole and bury it and say, Lord Jesus, what have you got for me? Oh, that's a bit of a religious kick in the guts for a few people, but I'm telling you, I get so peed off with that particular frame. Oh, it's my ministry. Well, it wouldn't be yours if Christ didn't give it to you, and it's got nothing to do with you anyway. It's the ministry of the kingdom. I must be about my Father's business. Amen? The lost will come in into that. And we're praying for the lost, and that's fine. Lord Jesus, we pray for this region. We pray for the people in it. That's good. Let the people begin to be prepared by the Holy Spirit, and then you get out there and start to demonstrate it. Like Paul said, I come to you not with enticing words, but with power and demonstration of the Spirit. And then see what happens to the people you've been praying for. They're not going to come running through those doors because we've been praying, Lord Jesus, save Gisman. They're going to come running through the doors when they see the church in power and authority walking through this region where people are being healed, where the power and demonstration of the Spirit is in action. Oh, glory to God, I'm telling you. Whoa, we're going to see the sick healed, amen? There's no question about that. No question in my mind that there will be an anointing on God's people to go out there and not just say, oh Lord Jesus, please heal the sick. No. That was never meant to be that way. When Jesus gave him a command, he said, go out there, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. He told you, do it in my name. But we sit there praying, expecting him to do something. It's going to flow in and through us if we're anointed, empowered by the Spirit. Amen? I'll get onto that a lot more with the preparation. The community. And it all must begin centered on the revelation of the wisdom and the knowledge of Him. If Jesus came with that anointing in Luke 4, and I don't know if God's spoken to your heart today like he's challenged me. But Jesus came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Have you been impaired in your functionality in the kingdom? He came to bring deliverance to the captives. Have we been captive? Maybe in our own pride. Maybe we've been captive by our own fears and uncertainties. And maybe we've been held captive by all those sorts of things. Maybe there have been things that have just chained us and kept us in bondage. But Jesus came to set us free from that. And there's a freedom and a liberty that Christ came through that anointing to bring to us firstly and foremostly before he does it to anybody out in this world. Can we go back to Luke 4, back in that first one? Right. Thanks. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. And I don't necessarily think that's got anything to do with your financial status. But if you're poor in spirit, you're broke. If you're not anointed of God, you're broke. You're poor in the kingdom. You're poor in the capacity that God wants you to have. Heal the brokenhearted. Sometimes we get brokenhearted over things that are, I guess, not working out the way we want them to. But there are people that are brokenhearted in the church as well because they've been let down. They've been disappointed. They've had aspirations that they've never been able to attain to, and it's crushed them. But Jesus came to set them free from that, set us free from that. I talked about the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind. Well, I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than religious blindness that's kept the church from being who the church needs to be. I heard a testimony just recently from a guy, and he said, I can't believe how much the things I was taught kept me blind to what God really wanted for my life. I was told to be a good boy and do things in the church and do this and do that and do the other. And so I tried to comply with everything that was requested of me. But he said, I was fully kept blind. I was blindfolded by doing things that I thought Jesus wanted me to do because the people in the church, the hierarchy, said that that's what I needed to do. But he said, I've seen the blindfold removed. Suddenly realized Jesus has brought recovery of sight to the blind. Deaf ears were opened as well. It's not in this particular part, but I tell you what, if you haven't heard the voice of God, you need to come to Jesus and hear, let him heal you from that. So his voice is heard clearly. Andrew, take over, please.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Hallelujah. This is not magic. This is not an emotional stirrup. Because anyone who's passionate about something, I don't have to convince you to be passionate about it. It comes from inside of you. And I appreciate so much what Pastor Ken is talking about this morning. And I was talking to a pastor this week, and he's like, I don't even know what it's like to be passionate. People ask me, what am I passionate about? He's like, I don't really know. That's why it's not about getting emotional. It's about what do you care about enough that it inspires you to do something. That's what passion is that it you care about it so much that you will not stand still, you won't stay silent, you will just act. You even if 100 people tell you no, don't do it, you'll do it anyway because I'm passionate about this. And I think that's, if you could just take a moment and just close your eyes, and I just think, you know, moments like this are holy moments. Take a look inside and say, am I really passionate about Jesus? And maybe you're new to this morning and you've not heard a message like this. And can I just encourage you? One thing I know about God is we are not convinced about Him by the words of man, but by something we sense in our hearts to be true. And so if this is new stuff to you this morning, I just hope that you, when you look inside, you just think, you know, I just hear what He's saying, and it just sounds right to me. Can I just encourage all of us in this place to just take a look, and this is not condemnation or you're not passionate enough and all that sort of stuff. It's God, that I would be passionate about what you're passionate about. And that only ever comes through revelation and by reading the Word of God. That's the only way you can understand that stuff. And so, God, I pray in this place that we would have heard some of what was preached this morning, but bring that into application to do. That maybe I'm not there right now, but I want to be there. I want to be that person who is passionate, so passionate about God that I, in faith, do things that Jesus did. Not because I think I can do it, but because He said I could. That I could actually pray for someone. That I could see that person at work that I know is going through a hard time and actually sit beside them and care about them. That when I see somebody who's in need, that I will not hope that someone else comes, but that I would be the answer to the question. Because there's passion in me and I can't not do something. God, that kind of passion would stir in all of us. And I pray that over all of us in this place, because whatever great things or good things we may have done in the past, there's more to be done. God, we thank you for what you've done, but we thank you for this moment right now. And I pray that as we're hearing this, that we would not be condemned or feel guilty or shameful. God, there are things, all of us have failed at doing the right thing sometimes, all of us. But God, we ask for your forgiveness. And we say, as of today, we want to be people who are passionate for you. That our hearts would be broken for what breaks yours. And that we would be so stirred with a passion inside of our hearts that we would be people of action. Even if it's one thing this week, it's one thing more than last week. So God, stir us to be the people you've called us to be. Because when you look at us, that's what you see. You see the potential we have to be changers, to be people who change the world of the people around us. God, I pray that this message would continue to stir in our hearts, that we would not let it go, that we would not remain silent. But God, that it would continue to transform us and change us for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. I pray that you would catch some of this. I was sitting down with Ken this week and I just said, Ken, And there's a passion that comes out of you when you start talking about the cross. I love it. I love it. But I pray that we would all become more passionate about what we truly believe. And I promise you, you will make a difference in the lives of people. Amen? Amen.
Yeah. Thank you. Not yet. I got myself together there. I just couldn't move on. It was really overwhelming. But I want to pray. Have you felt bruised? Have you felt restricted in any way, shape, or form in your capacities for God? Have you been blinded to things because you didn't realize that that's what God wanted for you? Oh, Jesus came to bring deliverance to the captives. If we've been captive to things, perhaps mindsets, thoughts, misunderstandings, concepts. If that's you, reach out in faith now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for sending your Son. I thank you that you empowered him and anointed him to set at liberty them that are bruised, to bring deliverance to the captives, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to bring the gospel to the poor, those in spirit, Lord, who don't know you fully, that are far less than what you've expected of them or called them to be or provided for them. Father, today in the name of Jesus, as people reach out to you in this place for healing in those areas, I pray, Father God, the release of your Spirit will envelop each and every one. That, Lord, there will come a new spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. The Lord God, whatever enticing words we thought we knew of you would dissipate into nothingness, and that we would walk and work within the spirit of wisdom and the revelation, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, having a new insight, a new understanding, a new focus, and a new passion and love for him because of who Jesus is in and through us. I ask, Lord God, for an anointing to fall upon your people here, that would bring us to the capacity that we are walking in, fulfilling and functioning in the anointing of the power of the Spirit. That you would empower us, Lord God, to take us on to be who you want us to be, to bring your kingdom, your word, your gospel, and your life into the lives of men and women that are in our circle of influence, within the framework that you have built us into, Lord, within our workplaces, within our schools, within every part of our life, in our social networks, in our mothers' groups, wherever we function, Lord God, I pray you'll make us aware that we need to be about our Father's business, that you'd restore, make us whole, and cause us to walk and work out of that wholeness, to impart it to others in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If that's you, don't be afraid, but just say, God, I need that. And I'm not letting go until it's in my life in a reality. In Jesus' name. Get passionate for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's do that then. Sing.